Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read, Lord willing, verses 24 and 25. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. The Word of God says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Wonderful, wonderful exhortation here, and a wonderful promises directly from God Himself, God the Son. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. God bless the reading of His Word, and now God help me to preach the Word, and me and you, you and I, to hear the Word. Let's pray to that end right now, brethren. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be in your house, the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth. We thank you, Father, for the freedom to worship, for the opportunity. Thank you for this meeting, Lord, for blessing us to have felt your blessed presence and your leadership here, your comforting hand, your directing hand and word. And Father, we stand in need of it yet again, as much as ever. We beg you that you would come by your Holy Spirit and bless us, as has already been prayed, that to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, make us aware that there is no other way to worship you other than in spirit, because you are a spirit, and in truth. May we put it out of our minds the things of the world. May we set our thoughts upon you now, and may you be pleased, Lord, to get honor and glory from what we have done here and what we do here. Thank you again for this occasion. Thank you for the prayers of your people. Thank you for your word. Now, Lord, direct it. Direct my thoughts and minds, my mind and my thoughts, that they would be according to your direction and your will and your word, that they would be glorifying to you and edifying to the people. In the name of Jesus, we pray, the name above every name. Amen. Brethren, Matthew's gospel here, we go to it again. If you look up in my Bible, look up the column. I don't know how your page is arranged, but you'll see the account there where Jesus asked the disciples. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" That's right up a few verses from where we just read. And that was our first lesson in this meeting. Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Are you serving me?" Wonderful words of Jesus. And of course, Simon Peter gave that right answer. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We looked at Jesus, brethren, as the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was made flesh and began to tabernacle among us, or live among us, dwell among us. And then on our next lesson, we looked at why. Why did he do that? Why would the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, come to a sin-cursed world? Why would he leave glory and come? Who would ever want to do that? And it was because, brethren, he loved us, and he came to save his people from their sins. His purpose. And he did save his people from their sins. Our sins, brethren, were placed on him. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's Jesus. And he nailed our sins, brethren, to the cross. He took them to the cross. Our sins were draped upon him. And at the cross, brethren, when he shed his sinless blood, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I have a contemporary recording of that hymn by a group called Jars of Clay. And the way they redid the hymn and modernized it is they sing the question, "What can wash away my sins?" And they just keep saying, "Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus." I love that hymn, I love the hymn in our book, and I love the way they do it. But they emphasize, brethren, and we looked at that nothing can take away our sins but the blood of Jesus. We looked at scriptures, particularly in Hebrews, that the blood of bulls and goats can't do it. But Jesus, brethren, offered himself without spot to God in our behalf, and he saved us from our sins. The angel told Joseph, "Call his name Jesus. He's going to be he's a boy baby. And when he's born, you name him Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. And I like to quote Matthew 1:21. That's Matthew 1:21. A preacher that I sat under his preaching for a long time, many years ago, he used to say often, he would say that the primitive Baptists got their name hard shell from bearing down on the hard shells, and it kind of morphed into hard shells. And I don't know if that's correct or not, but I know one thing, I like to come down on that. He shall save his people from their sins. And he did it. He said on the cross, it is finished. I heard another preacher say one time, Jesus didn't say, I quit. He said, it is finished. It's complete. It's done. The work that the Father gave him to do of saving his people from their sins is complete. And we stand before God, brethren. We're made righteous before God because of the work of Jesus Christ. Not our own works at all, but his. And brethren, the scripture yesterday that I cited to you was John 19:17. We started out with this. And he, bearing his cross, went forth. That, I just have a picture in my mind of that. I also have a picture of the theology there that Jesus, brethren, bore the cross for us. And he went forth, brethren, to Calvary, to Golgotha, to die, to save me from my sins. Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth. There's another time, there are many, but there's another I like to think about is Jesus was in the garden. He was about to be, he'd been betrayed by Judas. And when the officers and those armed guards of the high priest came to arrest him, brethren, he went forth. He didn't run from. He didn't stand where he was. He went forth to them and said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I'm he. That's me. And they fell back. That's the power of God. You know, they fell back, brethren. They fell to the ground just at his word. And that reminds me, brethren, that he said when Simon Peter cut off Malchus' ear, Brother Craig was talking with us about that this morning. Jesus says, put your sword up. Don't you know I could call down legions of angels right now? Brethren, he went willingly. He had to drink the cup. He went to the cross to save us from our sins. That was his task, brethren, and he carried it out. He finished it. Now today, down a few more verses, we read in chapter 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man, this is after he's asked them, who do you say that I am? Then he, brethren, he says to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Now, I want to concentrate on that verse for a little while and then to the next. Brethren, Jesus has just told them, he says, I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer many things of the elders and chief priests. This is verse 21 and scribes. And I must be killed and raised again the third day. Jesus is telling them, brethren, what's about to happen. And this is the instance where Simon Peter takes him and says, Oh no, that's not going to happen. Simon Peter, brethren, is still looking for a timely earthly king to rule in Jerusalem and throw off the Roman yoke. Oh, he's all confused. He misses the point. And I miss the point so many times. I'm sorry I do. But I have the benefit of reading back on this and understanding what Jesus is talking about. His kingdom, he would say to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would fight. But Jesus stopped Peter from fighting there. He said, put your sword up. Peter says, no, this is not going to happen. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Peter was not Satan, brethren, but Jesus was reminding him of, look, you're thinking of earthly things, Simon Peter, not heavenly. You're an offense to me. You savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And then he goes on and says, brethren, if any man will come after me, let him, three things, deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. I don't like to deny myself. Do you all? It's not pleasant many times. But it's better in the long run. when I'll deny myself. It's better. I don't like to deny myself. And when I was younger and more active and worked harder physically, I would come up to the table at mealtime and eat all I could possibly hold and just enjoy every bit of it and weigh about 160 to 170 pounds. I could do it. But you know what? You can look at me now and tell that it's different. I hover around 200 pounds. And that's the most I've ever weighed. And it's because, brethren, I'm not denying myself. I'm in the habit of getting up to the table and eating all I can possibly hold. And I don't do the work I used to. And they say your metabolism slows down. I guess it does. Something's happening. Whatever it is, something. I know that for sure. And I know I'm not working like I used to. And so, brethren, it's hard for me to deny myself. Yet when I do it, I'm glad. And after every meal, I say, I'm going to start soon. But something about that mealtime keeps me from denying myself. But brethren, Jesus here, brethren, is saying that if you'll come after me, you must deny yourself. And there are many, many ways that we're called on to deny ourselves, not just in physical food. But it's putting God first, brethren, is the overall thing, is denying yourself and being subject to and a servant of the one true and living God. Whatever that entails, that's it. I won't give any other examples, but there, you know them. You can think of them in your life. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Brethren, the service of Christ Jesus is a life of denial. But listen to me, there comes a blessed promise on the heels of this pretty tough talk right here. There's a blessed promise from God who cannot lie. If any man will come after me, let him, first of all, deny himself. Secondly, take up his cross. He doesn't say the cross, that might be appropriate, but he says his cross. What that says to me is, brethren, every one of us has a cross. Every one of us. Your cross is not necessarily my cross, and my cross is not necessarily yours, but we all have one. Take it up. Jesus went forth bearing the cross to Calvary. That was his cross. That was Jesus' cross. And we benefit from that, brethren. But the Word of God, Jesus tells his followers, take up your cross. Take it up, whatever it is. You have one. I have one. And maybe I've got a cross today that won't be a cross next year. I don't know. Maybe I had a cross years gone by that's not a cross now. I don't know about that. But I know that we all have a cross to bear. Every one of us. And then follow me. Follow Jesus. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling. Come, follow me. And brethren, Jesus continues on and he says or that could be a therefore in verse 25, for. And I love this teaching, brethren. Jesus says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, there's a beatitude, one of the beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount that says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. It's got to be false. If they're saying evil things about you and they're true, you're not blessed. And it needs to be for Christ's sake. He says, when that happens, you're blessed. When you're being persecuted for Christ's sake, you're blessed. And here he says, if you lose your life for my sake, you find it. You find it. I love this teaching right here, brethren. Jesus says, if you'll save your life, if you try to save it, you're going to lose it. And if you lose it for my sake, you're going to find it. I think that is what is called a paradox. A paradox. That's a sort of a fancy word, but I like a paradox. I like it. And I looked up the definition of paradox, and here's a definition. A statement that is seemingly contradictory. Well, that sounds contradictory, doesn't it? If you save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose it for Christ's sake, you're going to find it. That's seemingly contradictory. A statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense. And I can tell you what, you go out on the street and you start talking to people about Christ Jesus and losing your life and you're going to find it, they're going to say to you, that doesn't make sense. It's seemingly contradictory and opposed to common sense, and yet it is true. Now, the dictionary definition has one more word. It says, and it is perhaps true. Well, I'm telling you, it is true. If Jesus says it, it is. That's a dictionary definition. That's a secular definition of a paradox. But I'm telling you, brethren, if Jesus says this will happen, it'll happen. He cannot lie. And he wouldn't. He can't. That's a paradox. So here's the paradox, brethren. I've got an example of one from the Old Testament. I like to give this example. In the book of Proverbs, I love the book of Proverbs. Just finished reading through it in my daily reading. Here's a paradox. Listen to this. It's chapter 11, verse 24. Listen to this paradox. It's talking primarily about money. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Husbands, have you ever been frustrated with your wife scattering the money? Or wives, have you ever been frustrated? I'm not trying to start up. I'm just saying. It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. You hoard it up, you save it, and you don't scatter it, the blessings God's given you. Brother Craig mentioned in his prayer, we have the privilege to be tithers, he said. Brethren, there is that scattereth, and yet it increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Now that doesn't make sense to the mind, the secular mind, but God says that. That if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you scatter, if you're generous, you'll reap the benefit. God will bless you. That's one of the paradoxes. And it goes on in verse 25. Let me add this. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That's the generous soul is going to be blessed. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I love that verse. And Brother Buddy, you and Brother Craig mentioned about the church giving to Camp Sunlight. Well, on the heels of that, or right around that time, you watered. And you became watered yourself. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. And as a pastor that I think much of said often, you can't outgive God. Amen. And I've found that to be true. Not Amen. To brag, it's just a true statement. You cannot outgive him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. How are you going to outgive him? He owns it all anyway. That's the paradox right there, brethren. Try to save your life, put me first and my way first, and you're going to lose it. Lose yourself in service to Christ and for his sake, and you're going to find it. And it's one thing to read that and say, those are the words of Jesus, and I believe them. I believe them. And it's got to be true because he said it. But brethren, it's another to put it to practice and see it. See God work and fulfill his promise in your life. And brethren, none of us are too rich or too poor or too old or too young or too country or too city to do this and to apply that. It's to lose our lives for Christ's sake in the service of him. And your service to him is not necessarily my service to him the same. We all have a service to perform for Christ Jesus, for what he's done for us. There's a quote, another quote I want to give you. You might have heard it. It is attributed to a man named Jim Elliot. He died in 1956. He was born around 1924, I believe. And he was a missionary to some native tribes, I think in South America. I'm not sure. I think there's been a movie about him. There's been a lot written about him. And brethren, he was killed. The people that he was murdered by some natives who he was trying to share the gospel with. And he said this on one occasion. And it relates to the promise of Christ. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Think about it. Let that sink in. That's sort of along the lines of what Jesus is saying. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Brethren, you cannot lose the blessings of Christ if you're in his service. You can't lose it. You can't lose your righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost if you're serving Christ. You can't lose it. You can't lose it because he's all powerful. The Old Testament writer would say, choose you this day whom you will serve. Have you seen that on the refrigerator magnets and on your doorpost at the houses? I've seen it everywhere. Jesus said in another of the Gospels, he's quoted as saying, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you know it's not a one-time decision? It's not whether to serve God or not. Because we have the flesh in us. Our human nature battles with the spiritual nature in us. We have two spirits in us. And there are a lot of days when I wake up and I don't want to get up and go study my Bible. Or I don't want to go visit. Or I don't want to send that card or make that telephone call. I want to hit the yard and do what I want to do. I want to go out and do things I want to do. But brethren, I have to choose each day. And sometimes many times in a day whom I'm going to serve. But we have this promise, brethren. If we'll get lost in service for Christ, if we'll lose our life for Christ's sake, we find it. And I really do think that, and the apostles, it is said that they most all died a violent death, died as martyrs. The history people tell us that. But right here, brethren, and I don't know if I'll be called on to be a Christian martyr. I don't know. I hope I'll have the grace of God to do that if it comes to it. But brethren, what's important right now is that I'll live for Him. Live for Him. That I'll die to self and live for Him day by day. That I'll be lost in service to Christ. Because brethren, He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Take up your cross. You've got one. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. And you'll be blessed because of it. It's been my pleasure to be with you here in these series of meetings. Christ Jesus, we've looked at who He is. We've looked at what He's done for us. And now we try to look today at what we ought to do in His service, for Him and in His service. And He promises us, brethren, that He'll be with us. And He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Ever. Ever. Our Father in heaven, bless us to take up our crosses daily and serve you, deny ourselves, serve you like we've never served you before. May we grow closer to you. May we know you better than ever before. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for who you are. You've blessed us to know you as the Christ, the Son of the living God. May we go forth from this place serving you like we've never served you before. In the name of Jesus, we pray, the name above every name. Amen.